Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter to a service already in progress.
I want you to turn over in the book of Acts. I want you to go over to the later part of the book, I believe around about chapter 26. You know, the book of Acts doesn't have any amen at the end of it. You know, many of the books come to a conclusion, so to speak, or the letter was written in such a way that it delivered what he had to say, and it would say amen, you know, so be it, yea and amen. And when we think of the book of Acts, the situation with it is that it is the action of the apostles. It's the actions of the early church. It's the actions of the people full of the Spirit of God. And that's what we are today. We're the actions of the apostles. We're the actions of the apostolic forefathers that set forth in obedience to the Word and to the Lord Jesus Christ, that set forth with actions. You see, the church is not dead. The Christian people are not dead. The things that we believe and the things that we're tutored and indoctrinated in are not dead things. They're not things that were fulfilled back in the apostolic era of time, apostolic ministry, we might say, which is still going forth. But I'm saying that when the things that you read here in the life of Christ, the life of Peter and Paul and John and these apostles and these disciples that set forth to do exploits for God, it didn't come to an end or a completion there at that time. You see, you say, when does it come to a completion? The kingdom of God has no end. There is no finishing and no completion. Even though when Jesus hung his head there at Calvary and said, it's finished. You see, what was finished was the curse was done away with. It was finished. Sin was done away with. Death was done away with and conquered and put away. You see, those were the things that was finished. But see, in life, in eternal life, in abundant life, there is no finishing to it because we're eternal creatures in Christ. We're living forever. Eternal life isn't something that is put off in the future. We're eternal creatures in Christ Jesus right now. We're living forever. We cannot die. We have passed from death unto life. The old body might be put in a box, but it's considered in the Scriptures in the word sleep. It's not death. A son of God, a child of God cannot die because we're born of God and His seed remaineth within us and we're living eternally. Amen? And so many times we make the mistakes of putting things into the past. The religious leaders of this day and hour, I'm sad to say, that they preach the word as a past tense, or they preach it as something futuristic. They talk about a rapture as a futuristic thing, and they talk about this death and resurrection as a past tense thing, but it's something that's present in our life every single day. We're caught away daily into the throne of God and into the ecstasy, so to speak, of His Spirit and the joy of His Spirit. That's a catching up of that inner man with Christ. Walking in the Spirit, the Bible says, walking and dwelling in heavenly places. You see, and that is something that we bring to a daily perspective in life. If our whole Christianity is looking, everybody's teaching that we're waiting on the returning of the Lord and that we're waiting on this returning. But you know, that would violate the Word of God. And I don't mean to go into controversies with religious people, but I'm telling you, we know that He said, you go into Jerusalem and you tarry there. And He said, until you receive power. You know, and to tell you, they went there 10 days later. We say that there was power given. It came through like a rushing mighty wind. That was the Spirit of God. You say, one God, one faith, one baptism. And we say, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Ghost came mightily, like a rushing mighty wind. And they were filled with the power of God. That was the Spirit of God returning to the people. He's never left us. Say, what kind of God would He be to leave us for 2,000 years? The Bible says if one or three come together, one, two, or three touch and agree anything or come together in My name, He says that He's in the midst. I say He's here. I'm not looking for Him to come. He's here with us. He's dwelling with us. His presence is with us. You see, and it goes into having eyes to see and eyes to understand. Not taken away. Now, you see, this is what where people would not have an understanding of rending dimensional barriers or rending veils of dimensions. They think, what are you doing away? As a man came here and heard me minister one time, he said, man, this preacher believes that we've already been raptured. And he left here thinking that I don't believe in what we say is, which rapture isn't a biblical word. We know that it's the transfiguration to the body or with the redemption of the body. Or we say the change or to be caught up. You know, and he says he left here because, see, he didn't hear the end of the matter. He came with a religious idea, wanting to hear what he had been indoctrinated through the traditions of men through denominationalism. And he had his eyes closed. And this is what we're going to read about in the scriptures today, because we don't want to be guilty of this, of having our eyes closed and not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Sometimes we come with such closed-mindedness, or saying, this is what I am and this is what I believe, and we won't listen to anything outside that. And the whole Jewish people were separated from God. His elect, His chosen people were separated from Him, and He went to another, the Gentile people, because they were so religious in their ways, and they thought that they were so right that they did not see when good came. And that's what the Bible says about this very day and hour. And we're going to witness it here in the readings of what Brother Paul's putting forth here, of his work and his actions and the things that he went forth. And we're going to see that it's one and the same spirit that was in that day and hour. You see, there is no new thing under the sun. You see, it's the same spirits. It's the same Antichrist. There again, we talk about Christ, and then we got through religious teachings and things. People think that the day of the Antichrist is some futuristic thing, that he's going to come rule and he's going to come make himself to be God in the temple, which is abomination of desolation. And those things are true, but we're missing the thing for the present day application. The Bible said that there's many Antichrists among us. Many. You see, the Bible says that if you cannot believe that God is in the flesh, that you are Antichrist. You see, and this is the thing of us being full of the Spirit of God. He comes and dwells within this fleshly tabernacle of this temple of God, and He dwells really, truly within the spirit of mankind. That's that the Spirit of Christ in that innermost being. You see, but it's manifest within a flesh and tabernacle that we could see. And if we can't believe that God is now in the flesh, then we're Antichrist. And we don't need to keep putting Him off into some day of the great day of the Lord, where the Bible says it's the great and terrible day of the Lord, is when the eastern sky rolls back like a scroll. But you see, He's not coming to you and I then. He's already came to you and I. We've already had the day of the Lord. He's come to us. We're dwelling with Him. We're fellowshipping with Him. We're walking with Him. He's within us and we within Him, He says. You see, we are the children of God. We are the spiritual elect of God. You see, that's who we are now. But when He comes back, He's coming back for the ones that denied Him for the reason they were looking for a natural Messiah to reign on a natural throne. And He's coming back to them in that way. But we're done caught away at that time. We'll be caught up. We'll be changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not coming for us. He's already come for us, so they're coming to them. But the people that are all looking for that, they're numbering themselves with the natural Jew. And this is why we'll find it in this day and hour, why they're acting just like the Jews did at the time of the apostles in the time of the Lord Jesus. Now, I've brought these things out, speaking about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've brought these things out to the thing is when He walked here and the way they treated Him and they killed Him. It's the way they entreat us today. Now, I brought it out, but then we're going to see it fulfilling right down into the apostles. So let's turn over the book of Acts in chapter 26. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently." You know, the Bible says, ye that win souls are wise. And you could see and glean here from the wisdom of Brother Paul here, as he's standing before a man that we could say would have the power to put him to death if he would choose. Had the power to incarcerate him, which he was being held then as a prisoner because he appealed unto Caesar and he was going to be taken to Caesar. So he was being held here. But hear how he's exhorting a man and speaking in a positive way to him, esteeming him as a man of understanding, speaking in a positive way. "My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." You see what he's being judged for? Now think about this. I'm going to try to read through this, but I want these things. I don't want just to go over some of these things lightly. What is he being judged for? He's being judged for the promises, brothers and sisters, that God gave. He's being judged by the people that should have received the promises of God. They should have recognized and saw the Lord Jesus Christ as their King of Kings and their Messiah, but they rejected Him. And He's saying, you are judging me now because of the things that I believed. I believed in the promises. If we go over to the latter part of this chapter, or the next one, He was saying, that He goes, I've preached nothing but what Moses taught us and told us to look forward to. He said, I'm preaching the things that they were promising unto us. You know, it's written in the Old Testament. It's written in the books of prophecy that they prophesied these things. He said, nothing different than what Isaiah prophesied. You know, they prophesied the coming of a king, a Messiah. And he came and they did not see him. They did not recognize him. You see, brothers and sisters, people with a natural thought and a natural mind, they perceive things and they want to see things through their own understanding and through their own mind. But you see, as we again in the scriptures, if we look right on over here to the very last chapter, and he was talking about, he was explaining, he said, some have ears to hear and some don't. And some have eyes, but they don't perceive. They do not understand. You see, and this is the same thing that we're dealing with in this day and hour. There's no difference. It's the same spirits, the same Antichrist, the same religious people will be your adversary and the enemy in this day and hour. You know, brothers and sisters, I would love to come in here this morning and rejoice in God and just think, praise God for all of the many Christians of America. Praise God for all the denominations of America. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these people preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching this Jesus. But you know what? Let's back up here and think about these Jews that were the elect of God, that they saw God coming all through the wilderness and all through the Old Testament as being God's chosen people, and He delivered them once, delivered them twice, delivered them so many times from the adversary, raised them up and made them a great people and a great nation. And He led them all through so many things. We saw so many and read of so many miracles recorded in the Old Testament of way God dealt with the Jewish people. But then yet they turned and killed Him and crucified Him. You see, don't you think that when Stephen stood before the people and spoke before him when they took and stoned him to death, that he was speaking the things that they were looking for and the things that they were promised? And he was speaking those things right in line, but they took and killed him. And it's the same way today, brothers and sisters, when you preach the promises of God and what God really done, the religious people of this day and hour will absolutely rend you and crucify you. Because you left the traditions of men through Catholicism and the Catholic Church teachings that's infiltrated all of the Protestant churches throughout all of the areas. And this teaching is infiltrated and the people are religious and they've turned over to traditions of men. And you'd say, well, this sounds offensive and it sounds like you must think you're the only one. That you're the only one. It's a small flock, the Bible says. Few be there that find it. It's a straight way. You see, brothers and sisters, let's open up our eyes. Let's don't be blind like the Jews. Let's don't let this be offensive. Let this be educational. Look at the church in this day and hour. They're ordaining homosexuals and sodomites. They got them in their music ministry. They got the rock and roll in the churches and the immoralities. And they're exploiting everything. They're just doing anything and everything they want. I saw something on the way of television, and you might say, oh man, men are praising God. Hallelujah. They're praising the Lord. They're singing unto Jesus. And they had these guys covered up with tattoos and hair down in the middle of their back and earrings and all this foolishness in. And they're saying, let's worship God together and praise the Lord. And I'd say, it can't be that way. And you'd say, well, no, you're missing it, man. That's the blessings of God. The blessings of God pulls you out of the world and makes you a separate people. It brings you out of that unclean thing. It changes you. You understand, if you can't see the difference between a Christian and the people of this world, then something's wrong. I know that it's not in the way you dress and the way you cut your hair. It's in the spirit that you're full of the Holy Ghost. But when you're full of that Spirit of God, it brings you, the Bible says, unto holiness. And it says, without holiness, that no man shall see God. And when you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you got the Spirit of holiness in you, your conversation changes, your speech changes, the way you dress changes, the way you look changes, everything about you. The Bible says you are a peculiar person. You understand? But we can go the way of the Jews. We can go the way of natural religion. We could just walk with them and we could just line up with them. But you see, somebody went out to go against and say, wait a minute. There's a way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he went on preaching this word. Great men full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was stoned to death, but he stood there before the religious people that killed him. Even the brother that's speaking here was there holding the garments of the people that put him to death. But he stood there and he said, full of the Holy Ghost. And he sat there and he defied the things that they were teaching and wanted them to line up with. Wouldn't it be easy to line up with the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, and all of them and just line right up with them, even though they're preaching the truth in many things, but then yet they departed in many things? Wouldn't it be easy just to go along with them? Wouldn't it be easy to go ahead and build the sports arenas in the churches and put the big screen TVs and allow all the rock and rollers to come in? Then we just go right along with them. But that's not God's will, brothers and sisters. You say, well, he has his way in it. Yeah, he has his way in the good and in the evil. But I'm telling you this, that his children hear his voice and they'll come out of the harlot. You see, the Protestant churches would say that the Catholic Church was the great harlot. And they would preach at him, preach for many, many years, hundreds of years it's been preached, that the Catholic Church was the harlot. But you know, there's been a returning. There's been a returning of the Protestant Church to Catholicism and Catholic doctrine. And they're walking in Catholicism and they're blind and they don't see good when good comes. You see, it's not the harlots, it's not the whoremongers, it's not the dope addicts, it's not the drunkards that come against us and try to hinder us and stop us in this day and hour from preaching the Word of God. It's the religious people, because we don't preach what they want to hear. Here's what they want to hear. They want to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yea and amen. Hallelujah. That's the Word of God. Without that, we have nothing. We are nothing. We have no life. But they want to hear the love of God. You know, Satan wants to preach this more than anybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. That's life. But that's what he wants to preach, because the Bible says the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. And what they do is they want to preach the Word, but then they want to pervert it. They want to bring all manner of perversions in of the Word of God. You say, what are the perversions that they're bringing in? Rock and roll in the church. That's a perversion. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And if it's a shame when they wrote those things and His Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever, it's a shame today for a man to have long hair. It's exalting the wrong things. And then he comes and says, well, Brother Rob, Jesus had long hair. So why would it be a shame for a man to wear long hair today? Jesus came, in the Bible says, in the image of the sin nature. And what did they do with that image? They crucified it on the cross of Calvary. And that was, and it was taken as a sacrifice for our wickedness and our immoralities and our filth and our perversions. And it was taken as a sacrifice and killed. And it was put in the ground. And it isn't that seed that went into the ground of corruption. He was, says it, and raised into incorruption. He said He suffered Him not to see corruption. But when He resurrected, they didn't recognize Him. Why? Did He come back in that same image? No. He didn't come back in that same image. Even though you can see the nail prints and the things. But why weren't the ones that walked with Him the day before didn't recognize Him that day? Because He was different. And we go back to the book of shadows, the Old Testament. We find Joseph again going into the tomb. And he was, his hair grew out long and whiskers grew out as they had him incarcerated in a dungeon for something he didn't do. See, Jesus paid a price for something He didn't do. Amen? And Joseph being there. But then, yeah, they clean shaved him and cleaned him up when they brought him forth. And that's the way Jesus came forth. You understand? He was different. He was different. But He had to fulfill all things. And it was a Nazarite creed that had to be fulfilled. So, you see, you say, is that the perversion? Is that your problem, preacher? Is that your problem, just the rock and roll in the church? I wish that was the only problem. Oh, I tell you, I wish that was the only problem. There's so much false doctrine and immoralities going forth from the from what they call the pulpits. Pulpits, pulling them into the pit. That's what they're calling them. God suffered that for that reason. This is a sacred desk. You see? Pulpit. And you think, oh my, could it be? That's offensive. I've heard some mighty messages come from what you call pulpits. I have too. Amen? I'm just talking allegorics and types and shadows. And God has His way in those things. So, what is the problem with the church today? Well, if we read here and we find in the readings right here, brothers and sisters, that they didn't have their eyes open to see good when good came. And the ones that should have been standing and strengthening Brother Paul's hands right here in the Word of God and in the Scriptures that should have been encouraging him in his way were the ones that set out against him and followed him from city to city and followed him before when he went before one judge, before another judge, and railing allegations against him and things. And as if we read on here, we would find out that they heard these things and they said, I can't find no reason to put this man to death. I would set him free, but he appealed unto Caesar. So now Caesar, he must go. So God had a way in it. And then when he got down there into Rome, it said that for 2 years there he was preaching and indoctrinating people in the apostles' doctrine. And he was teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, but what is happening today? Where is it today? What is happening within the churches today? How come they're so much different? You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to come against the denominations of this thing, but I've been involved in them and preached in the churches. And they've changed in this day. Why, when God's Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever, why has it changed so much from the 80s to the 2000s? Why has it changed so much? You know, why was it something that then we could not do, but now all of a sudden it's okay and everybody's doing it? Where in this day and hour is it okay to ordain sodomites? Where is it? Where do we find in the Word so we know that there's something wrong? We know that there's something wrong when they allow these perversions. And we look on the Trinity Broadcast Network and they exalt and esteem all of this immorality and filth of ungodliness. It says, man, you shouldn't come against everything. I'm not coming against everything. The only thing I'm coming against is the devil. The only thing I'm coming against. You know, Peter was a great man of God. Peter was one that had so much faith that he had enough faith to get out and walk on the water. Even though he slipped a little bit, he reached out and cried out to God. But he had enough faith to do that. No other man has been recorded in history to do that. He was the one who recognized who Jesus was. Who does men say that I am? He said, Thou art the Christ. And the Lord said, this wasn't revealed to you from flesh and blood or from man. This was revealed from the Father, from God, from the Spirit. Here's this great man that had a great revelation. And the very same day as he's walking with the Lord, he said, Get ye behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh. You see, why is that not offensive? When Jesus said, You're snakes, vipers, and hypocrites. Why is that not offensive? Why wouldn't it be any different today? You see, it's the same today, brothers and sisters. We're commissioned by God and full of the Spirit of God. And we need to speak the truth. And it doesn't matter that when we speak the truth, where it fits. If it fits and it ain't lined up, let's don't just be religious. Let's don't just make, oh man, praise God, Jesus is love. You know, He's love and He loves everybody. You know, and man, you can't judge and you can't do that. Where's the Bible teach that we can't judge? It says that when we judge, that we're judged in the same manner in which we judge. And if I'm judged as a drunkard and I'm a drunkard, I bring that judgment on me. But ye that are spiritual, judge all things, the Bible says. And the Bible commands us and teaches us. You show me somebody that doesn't judge and I'm going to show you a fool. If they're not making judgments, that means they're walking. If the Bible says two can't walk together unless they're in agreement, you have to make a judgment if you're going to walk with somebody. Because if you're going to be in agreement with them and they're in false doctrine and error and you're walking with them, it's going to be numbered to you. You have to judge. But you see, it's false doctrine. You see, there's perversion, brothers and sisters, in the land. There's perversion. The households have become perverted. The schools have become perverted. The Bible says that Satan climbed into the upper lintels. What is it? It's the church. That's why the Bible said the ministers of Satan have transformed into ministers of light. You say, what does that mean? What that means, brothers and sisters, of what things that you used to look to, that you would find light and you'd find understanding and you would find God, that Satan's entered into those things. The Bible said in the last days they become hirelings. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, a hireling is somebody that is paid for a service. If you hired me to pick your cotton, you hired me and I'm a hireling and I'm picking your cotton. If you hire me to clean your house, then I'm a hireling. And if you hire me to preach your doctrine, if you hire me to line up with your Baptist ways, your Methodist ways, your Assembly of God ways, your Pentecostal ways, and you hire me to say, this is what we believe and this is what I want you to teach, you hired me to say what you wanted to hear. You see, but that's not the callings of God. The callings of God to the minister of God is to speak God's Word. And His Word is true. And the Bible says, let every man be a liar. Let every denomination be a liar. Let anything that... It says that anybody that preaches anything different than what Brother Paul's preaching right here or what the Lord Jesus preached, said, let them be accursed. And the churches are full of false doctrine and error. And they perverted the word. They've taken these things that are written. They've taken these promises of God and they've watered them down. And they've taken and made allowances for every ungodly and unclean thing. You see, there's conditions and qualifications to be an elder in a church and to be a bishop and to be a deacon. And they've left those things. They've departed from those things. It's a small flock, the Bible says, few be there that find it. It's a straight and narrow way, amen? It's a wide, broad path to destruction. You understand? Now let's talk about the Jews. Man, they're the God's elect. They're the righteous. But when they found themselves out there in the wilderness, and they found themselves out there, the ground opened up and swallowed thousands of them. One day, 50,000 of them. This is God's elect. And what is it now? We say that we're God's elect. We're the Christian people. And we're His elect, but we find that the manifestation of the wilderness in this day and hour. You say they come through the blood of Jesus. They went through the Red Sea. And then they entered into a wilderness for 40 years of wandering around in a wilderness. So the people, yes, they heard about Jesus and Him who crucified. And yes, they come to this understanding. But then they found themselves in a wilderness, and because of the murmuring and the complaining, the earth opened up and swallowed them up. And seeing this earthen vessel, and the thing is that the cares and the love of the world is opened up and swallowed them up, the religious people of this day and hour. And they're just going on in their false doctrine and in error and esteeming things that are not of God. And preaching doctrines and telling you that you must believe this and you must believe that to be saved, and there's no Bible for the things that they're teaching. This area is full of Trinity churches. And they're saying you must believe in the Trinity to be saved. Well, somebody show me Trinity in the Bible. Show it to me. You ain't going to find it. I can save you time. Well, don't you believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You ain't amen. And I preach the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Bible said that these three are one. And this Bible says that water, blood, and spirit is the earthly witness. And it said these three agree in one. And I dissect things to understanding of a body, soul, and spirit. And I understand the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. And I understand it. But Catholic and Catholicism from 321 AD and the council that they went to there, the Nicene Council, and they had a dispute right then and there about the matter. What is matter? Some of you scientists in here, gases and liquids and solids is what it is. And that's what they were disputing about in the Nicene Council, other than that the Catholic priests could or couldn't marry. And that's when they changed it that they couldn't marry. But back there at that council, they had a dispute over that, saying, is this Holy Ghost and is this Father and is this Jesus? Is this all one in matter? And this is where they went when they're teaching. You see, and from since then, things have been perverted through Catholicism, even though God suffered many things through Catholicism, preserved the Word of God coming through some dark times and brought the Word of God through. But then yet there was great men of God like Wesley, great men of God like Luther that protested against the things of the Catholic Church, and they come out. Yes, they come out of it. And they protested against it. And the churches of this area and the churches of this day and hour are, yes, a part of this protest that come against that. But you see, when other great men of God like Wesley come along, he taught things, but they've turned away from those things. They've turned away from many things. When Brother Branham come along, he preached some things. And the church esteemed him as a cult and turned away from him. And his people have gone into error. That's why we don't stand in these religious things. We stay with the Word of God. We stay within the Word of God, brothers and sisters. So where is it that they missed it today? Because they went to traditions of men. The Bible warns us to stay away from traditions of men. We need to stay with the Word. You know, I preach the Word. I put it out on the radio stuff and I challenge the people. I said, come with me with the Word of God. I have people mad at me. Just as we find here that Paul, you know, people are so mad they want to put him to death. They've taken and stoned Stephen. They've taken our God, our Messiah, our salvation, our Savior, and they took and crucified Him. And he asked him, he said, why do you want to stone me? And he said, because you're mere man making yourself to be God is why they put him to death. You see, but why would they want to do that? Because if the promises was due, and he turned and told him, he says, but isn't it written, and didn't I also say that ye are God's?